Well, good morning. Welcome to the service. My name is Pastor Bob, and it's good to have you here. You're here on a great day. Communion Sunday and the first Sunday of the month, we're trying to have stories of God at work. And we ask different people. We serve a living God who works and is active in our world and in our lives. And we have stories of what God's doing either here or elsewhere. And I want to invite to the stage a couple of friends of mine, Rob and Sherry Campbell. Rob and Sherry have been in our church how long?
Getting close to 5 years, probably 4.5 years.
4.5 years. And you've been active in our church, and as is our experience, you guys are being moved on to Moose Jaw, right?
That's right.
And Rob and Sherry will be moving on. And because they have been part of our church family, part of small groups, part of ministry teams, they've seen God do lots of stuff here. And so I said, man, would you honor us and would you give testimony to God and tell us about some of the things that you've seen God do and some of the things you've seen him work on here. So welcome, and make them feel welcome. It's over to you guys.
Yes. So first thing I want to talk about was how, like, Sherry and I mean, we've been asked once or twice to make different speeches up here, and how these things get prepared for in our home is Sherry hears about them and immediately starts making notes and preparing furiously. She has how many pages there? You got really small print, double sides. I prepare maybe 2 days before, a night before, something like that. I got some chicken scratches on a piece of paper here, just to hopefully try and keep myself on track. She's, you know, prepared quite a bit for this. And these are mutual things that we believe that we've seen God at work in. She's going to end up doing a lot of the speaking because she's well organized, and I don't want to take that away from her because she's put a lot of effort into it. So all that to say that these are shared experiences, even though she might say a bit more. Ways I see God at work in my life are often frequently throughout days I'll see things that happen or don't happen that could have happened and gone poorly, and they stick out in my mind as being God at work. I can't recall a lot of them now that I'm being asked, you know, and to share them with other people. And a lot of them are personal, you know, and they wouldn't be relevant to others anyways. But and I'm hopeful that most of you experience those kind of things as well. But I'm not going to talk about those because I don't remember them mostly. But they are very important to me. Another really important way I've seen God at work in our life is answers to prayer regarding our children. Like, we're, as you do as well, hopefully, in prayer a lot for our kids on how their character is going to, you know, turn out. And, you know, in a lot of ways we've been blessed and seen those things happening. There's still some areas that, you know, we're praying about. But that's been a real blessing to me, just seeing how God's shaped our kids in really neat ways. Recently, you know, Sherry's been asking to read their Bible, you know, set aside a time for that during the day, but they're actually doing it and doing it more than we expected them to, or were asking them to, you know, like they're actually really getting into it and appreciating it. And the amount of memorization they can do in the Bible is quite astounding. Their brains are just so spongy at this age. So that's been really, like, neat to see God at work in that area. Another way that's very spiritual that I've seen God at work is through InfoMall. That sounds really bad, eh? Well, I have got some good deals on there, that's for sure. And I have learned a lot about patience and from a truck I bought off InfoMall that was a mistake. But no, seriously, God set us up with a family through selling something on InfoMall. They came to our door to buy a coat that we had for sale, and we ended up chatting with them for quite a while they were at our house, and then they invited us to their house for a meal, and, you know, we've kind of set up a friendship for the time we've been here and hopefully beyond. You know, we've got some mutual interests, but mostly we talk about God when we're together with them, and their family really encourages us and prays for us, and vice versa. Yeah, kind of, you know, it seems really strange to meet a family that way, and that's kind of why I think it was God at work setting us up with that, you know, with other people who share our faith, and, you know, share pain with us and joy, and that's been really neat. I'm going to pass it over to Sherry now and let her share some stuff for us.
So, yeah, like Rob said, we arrived here just about 5 years ago with our two children, and I want you to understand that we were very grateful for the children that... I'm already going to cry. So we were very thankful for the kids that God had given us. But I came from a very large extended family, a huge family. We were very close. And I'd always really desired a big family. But the two births were very difficult, and especially the last one. So much that I didn't believe that I would survive if we were to have another baby. And I prayed for 7 years that God would just take that desire away from me, that if we weren't to have more kids, he would just help me to not want more kids. And I want to say again, I was thankful for the kids that he had given us. I believed that there were more that he wanted us to have, but I was so confused because how was I to get them? And like I said, that desire, he never took that desire away. And we always prayed about it. We always prayed that if we were to have more, that that would happen. And we didn't know how that was going to happen because I didn't think that I would live if we had another one. And actually, this couple that Rob was talking about from InfoMall, we prayed a lot. And they prayed with us about this. We had another couple who prayed and walked this road with us. We also were well aware of the fact that we weren't getting younger, and if we were going to do this, we needed to get on with it. And so I was pregnant, and we needed to battle the fear that I had. Our kids, when they were even smaller, they would come to our room, you know, in the night with bad dreams, and I really wanted them to be able to trust God through those fearful times with their bad dreams. And so I would make little cards for them with Bible verses that talked about fear and how we don't need to give in to that. And then I realized I was teaching that to them, but I needed to learn it myself. And so I grabbed those cards from them, and I wrote those same verses down for myself. And every time fear would creep in, I would get those cards out. I had them by my bedside table. I took them to the hospital with me. And I'm just going to share with you a few of the verses that really helped me through this, through the fearful time. First one is John 14:27. It says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." So he says that I can have this gift of peace. I can't conjure up, I can't make it up on my own, but he's willing to give it to me if I allow him to and if I believe that he will. It says the world cannot give it. So I know that I do believe in praying with other people, especially ones that will point me to Jesus. But they can't actually put that peace inside of me. It's something that I have to accept from God. And it's a gift if I will just take it. And then it says, so don't be troubled or afraid. And it doesn't leave room, like wiggle room in here. It says, don't be troubled or afraid. And I know some of you may actually think that we're kind of crazy for taking this risk into our own hands, but I don't believe that we took it into our own hands. I believe that God wanted to teach us something through this, and I've come to the place where I'm actually okay if people disagree with me or think I'm kind of crazy because of the choice that we made, because I got to experience the peace that nobody can give. Nobody can have it on their own. But I got to experience the peace that doesn't make sense, that doesn't, it doesn't just happen. It was a gift from God. The next verse that I wanted to share that has to do with the fear, and one of my cards that I was reading, it's Deuteronomy 31:6, and it says, "So be strong and courageous," and there's an exclamation mark after that. "Don't be afraid and do not panic, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." We came to the place where we acknowledged that God was in control, that the outcome, we couldn't do anything about it. What was going to happen, we had given God control. He was already in control, but we just acknowledged that he was in control. And when we arrived at the hospital, the doctor, who was so confident in dealing with us, he saw no problem in dealing with me. He was like, "No, you don't need to go to Edmonton. I've totally got this. No need to fear. It's just like, I'm really, really good at what I do." And he pretty much promised that he would be there. And when we arrived, he was not there. And I thought of this verse instantly. I thought, this is a great opportunity to panic. And yet, I did not. I don't want to say to you, I don't want you to think that I always make the right choices, because I don't. But because I had learned this verse, I could run to it in an instant and not panic, because this verse says that he has gone ahead of us. This had already been prayed for. We had special friends who had prayed that God would create a new experience for us, that I wouldn't always be bound by fear from the previous experiences. It says he will not fail me or abandon me, and he did not. So anyways, the birth was actually the best one that we had had. It was not, I still lost lots and lots of blood, but it was not an emergency. There was not a panic. They did feel well prepared when we told them what my history had been. And the doctor even gave a green light if we wanted to have more children. He said, "You know, go ahead." And I'm not here to say, you know, when we pray, everything just turns out rosy and you get what you want. But had we not got what we wanted, I still know that God was in control. And I do want to thank many of you who prayed for us.
Actually, to expand on what the last point there, thank you for prayers. I just remember being kind of astounded during the process leading up to the birth about how many people said they were praying for us. And I didn't even know you knew or knew that, like, it was a kind of a complicated situation. It really seemed that you'd just been prompted by God to pray for us. And that was really memorable for me and appreciated. So another area I've seen God at work, and I hope I get this right. I don't want to say it the wrong way. So if I say it wrong, just imagine I said it right, and that's what I said. We've had the opportunity, maybe explain our background a little bit. My family is a broken family. I don't have any, my parents are divorced, and I never grew up in I didn't grow up in a functional home. And Sherry knew that from the get-go, and so we, probably by her promptings a lot, but and family knew about it as well, but they gave us a lot of resources to read, and we actually read them and, spent some time kind of focusing on what marriage should be like. And then there were mistakes we've made along the way that we've learned from as well. And so that, I think, that setup, that hardship of stuff we've had, has allowed us to be part of God working in marriages here in this town. And that's been a real blessing for us. This is where I don't want to get it wrong. I'm not happy that people are going through hard times, but it's rewarding, or, you're just grateful that God would consider allowing us to be part of that healing process. And there's a verse that made me think of, not blue tab. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and it's kind of a range of verses, 12 to 31. And it's talking about how we're all parts of the body of the church. And, you know, we all have a role to play. And, you know, it kind of made me think of that, you know, that was, at that time anyways, that was our role to play. And when you do that role, there's some joy in it. And I just wanted to encourage you, like people here, you know, I think sometimes it's pretty obvious what role that God wants you to play. And it may not always be comfortable, but if you can step into that role and play your part of the body, it could be really, just grateful, helpful, yeah. So I just wanted to read part of it, just verse 27 saying, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." And there's so much more there, but if you want the verse, I can give it to you later on.
Okay. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was that we have been able to see some special friends come to know Jesus since we've been here, that we've got to see them come to an understanding of who Jesus is and why he actually matters, what difference he can make, and how we're hopeless without him. I want to share a verse that we pray in our family. It's Colossians 4, 5, and 6. It says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone." And again, I'm not trying to say, I don't want you to hear that we always live wisely among the people who aren't believers, but this is our prayer, and we do try to be intentional, and we do try to live wisely with God's help among people who don't know him, because we want them to know him. So that verse coupled with 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it." Like, not sometimes or when it's convenient. It says, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. So not like just ramming it down their throat, but this is a gentle thing. So Pastor Chris had spoke on this passage one Sunday, and that very week, a friend who we'd been praying for probably about a year, like God actually, like he laid them on our heart, and we had been praying for them. And we were trying to share where we could. We've kind of grown a little bit in this area where we're not, like, we are still scared, but we do try to bring him up in conversation and try to share why we don't have to be in despair and why we're hopeful. So anyways, we had shared little bits. We hadn't hidden our faith from them, but we knew that they weren't exactly, they were kind of opposed to it, but they were, you know, they listened and everything. Anyways, this very week after Chris had spoke on this, this friend asked if we could go for coffee so she could ask questions about the Bible, why the Bible matters, or does it even? And she wanted to know what the hope was that we had. And I thought that was really neat that Pastor Chris had asked that in our small groups that we talk about that and actually sit down and explain to each other why we had hope. And so I'd already been like prepared to do that with her. So I mean, how that is so exciting to see people come to Jesus. And I want you to understand that, yes, we had prayed for them, but no glory goes to us. God just, he allowed us to build into them. They had already been prayed for years before they arrived here. somebody had already planted a seed of hope in their life, and then they moved here, and we were just had the opportunity to see that little seed grow and to see understanding come into their hearts. The last thing that I wanted to talk about, where we've seen God working, it started way back, right when we first got married, that we prayed that God would place us wherever he wanted us to be, that he would move the hands of the people who are in charge of Rob's, of his postings. And we pray every Thursday, we pray for Rob's work, people at Rob's work, my work. And we've always put this in his hands. However, this was always our last spot. This is as far as I ever dreamed that we would come. My family is close to here, and so I just never thought that we would ever leave here. But like Pastor Bob said, just very recently, Rob was told that he needs to go to Moose Jaw in January. And it's not that we're excited to go, but when we've already prayed about this for so many years, we almost feel like we'd kind of be Jonah if we said, apparently you have a reason for us to be there, but we're actually quite comfortable where we are. We'd like to stay here. We know that we'd be kind of disobeying if we didn't go. However, the military is famous for changing their minds, and so we'd be happy to just stay put. I do want to thank the people here who have opened your hearts and your homes to us and befriended us, knowing that there was a possibility that we would go, even though we didn't think that we would. And I want to challenge you and ask you to please open your hearts and your homes and your lives. Make space for new people who might be coming in, even when you know they might actually just leave. They may have a lot to offer. And I know how hard it is to have people leave. I've been left. And I also know how hard it is to be the one going and trying all over again. And what I can say is that the investments into other people's lives are worth it. Building into others is a way of storing up treasure in heaven. So as hard as it will be, we're going to set down roots, because it is worth it. I just have two verses I want to share to close. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. And this is something that we are praying for right now since we found out that we're apparently going. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I know I belong to Christ Jesus. I know he paid a price for me. So it says his will for me is to be thankful, and his will is for me to be joyful. And so I know that Saskatchewan is the best province in the world, but I know that it is very, very windy, and I'm trying to...
There's no more time changes, though, so it's...
But I do need to try to be, joyful about the wind. But anyways, it is just actually our day-to-day life right now as these details unfold. I just want to exchange any anxiety for joy for the current day and not worry about what the future holds. It's the details right now are pretty sketchy as far as this move goes, but I'm actually okay. I'm not worried. I'm not angry that we're going, but... No, I don't actually want to go yet. And lastly, I just wanted to share a passage that over the years has really, really helped me in the huge decisions that we've had to make. a number of years back, I became a person who would write things in the margin of my Bible. And now when I look at this passage, I see three huge decisions that we had to make along the way. And I see, oh my goodness, God advised us through those huge things. So I just want to close with this passage. It's Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9. It says, "Be careful to obey all the instructions given to you. Don't deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left." So, like, focus on Jesus. There's so many distractions, like both sides, like just everywhere. There's so many distractions, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Everybody's going to have an opinion for what they think that is, they think is best for you. And that's so, you know, it's good to listen to people, especially if they'll point you to Jesus. But sometimes he's just saying, you know what? Just look at me. Just focus on me. Don't turn to the right or to the left. It says, then you will be successful in everything you do. Okay, so I want to be successful in everything I do. So I need to just be careful to obey the instructions. Then it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. So if I want to obey everything written in it, he says I need to actually be in his word every day, day and night. And then I'll be able to actually obey it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love the way he closes this. It's just the answer to everything. Because it says he's with me wherever I go. That's why I don't have to worry. That's why I know it's going to be okay. It turns out it's not all about me anyways. I'm here to glorify God and point people to him so that they can have hope.
That's it.
Thanks. Thanks, Frank. Thank you, Sherry. I love it when people are willing to tell their God story. And for Rob and Sherry to say, hey, we've seen that the living God is active in our lives. And as we turn to him and as we wait on him, he is living and he is active and he is at work. And that's the God that we come to the communion table to celebrate and to remember. And I want to bring you to the communion table with three invitations, okay? So who goes to something they're not invited to? I know Chris does, but no. Some of you would, but most of you wouldn't. And most of you would look from a distance and say, well, if I'm invited, then I have a chance to respond. And if I respond, then I have a chance to experience. And if I experience, I have a chance to share the memories. So think of a wedding. Think of a Christmas party, right? You get an invitation. You make a response. You have a shared experience, right? So let me give you an invitation. Some of you have already got this invitation and you've responded to it. But for some of you, this might be the first time somebody's just asked you. Maybe you've been investigating Jesus. And you're just intrigued by what people believe and where their hope's at. And I want to clearly give you an invitation if no one ever has. That if you would like to be a follower of Jesus and know personally the living, almighty God, he's provided a way for that to happen. And here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that God loved us desperately and deeply, that we were separated from him by sin, and that he came up with a plan, and out of his deep love for you and his desire that you wouldn't have to be separated from him by sin or pay the penalty for sin yourself. He sent his son, his beloved son, to go willingly to death in your place, that your debt might be paid, and that you might have a relationship with God. And the Bible says this is really easy, that when he reveals to you, And when you understand that this is what God did and this is who Jesus was, the Jesus we celebrate at Christmas, his arrival, and at Easter, his death and his resurrection, that it says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And so the invitation, some of you have already taken it, but if you never have, you could today say, I understand, and God, I believe. And I would like Jesus' death on the cross to be for me. And one of my favorite questions is always, if you haven't responded, what's stopping you? And it's something you can think about, but today, right where you sit, you can respond. And so invitation number one is to relationship with the living God, to invite him to come into your heart and into your life. Invitation number one, many of you have responded to. Invitation number two today is to join me around the communion table. But you know, if you're visiting or if you're a new Christian or maybe you've been around a while, let me remind you what this is. Jesus is with his beloved disciples, the guys that he's handing the ministry off to, and he institutes at supper in the midst of many things, a way of remembering what he's doing for us. And he takes bread and he breaks it and he said, this is my body broken for you. The selfish choices that you've made, the things that you've done, your sin, Jesus is gladly stepping in front of and paying the price for. And so your inner lawyer goes, well, some of it. And no, all of it. All of it. There's nothing so despicable or so out there that Jesus died for that. And the cost of sin, it says the wages of sin is death. And he took a cup after supper and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Like, he gave up his life for you. And payment was accepted and he was resurrected. And this covenant relationship that we have is like when we ask for that payment to be applied to our account, we become disciples or followers of Jesus. And this new relationship begins where we begin to be in his word and we begin to trust him. And just like Rob and Sherry shared, we begin to lean on the Almighty God and he begins to work in our lives and through us. So invitation number two is if you've made the decision to follow Jesus, come with me today. Let's share a memory. Let's share something and let's remember his body broken and his blood shed. Now, I've got a good inner lawyer like many of you, and some of you right now are going, I don't know if I can have communion today. My life's pretty messed up. I've made some mistakes. Here's the great news. My life's messed up too. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says not to partake in an unworthy manner, but right where you sit, you can say, Spirit of God, show me if there's things I need to repent of. Show me if there's people I need to talk to, but forgive me. And if you've made the response, if you've responded to the first invitation, you're a follower of Jesus, respond to the second invitation. And as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of the living God, let's remember how this relationship came to be and who Jesus was. And let's celebrate that together. My third invitation to you comes after we have communion together. I want you to respond to God, but I also want to give you an invitation, and Sherry put it well, an invitation to find a place to be grounded. Now, if you're visiting, go home and find a church to be grounded in. But if you're new and if you're here or if you've been coming for a while, we only grow when we're part of the body. Rob talked about it where he said, you know, we're all different parts of the body and we need each other. And God designed this to happen in community. This is a shared experience, but so is experiencing the living God. It's together. And I just want to, as the pastor, as your friend, invite you. If you've never done it, talk to us about membership. Talk to us about digging in. Talk to us about serving. But communicate to us. This is where we want to be grafted into the family of God for as long as we're here, and this is where we want to grow. And so that's what I want you to consider as we have communion together.